Brothers and sisters, St. Paul says in his letter to the Galatians and to us, for freedom Christ set us free. So stand firm and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Freedom from what, you might ask? Well, obviously, freedom from sin, all the things that come from it. Freedom from death, freedom from being able to be who and what God created us to be. His own children, made in His likeness, destined by Him for eternal life, to be saints, to be holy, and to do good, to have a positive effect in the world, for grace. To go back to the yoke of slavery is to put ourselves in a situation of sin where we find ourselves stuck and not fulfilling God's plan. We find ourselves unhappy, miserable, unfulfilled. For you were called for freedom, brothers and sisters, but do not use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Freedom is different from license. License says, do whatever you want. If it feels good, do it. If it doesn't hurt anybody else, but it makes you enjoy yourself, there's nothing wrong with that. Well, that's incorrect, obviously. We're called to do good and to be good, to be holy, to do godly things. Anything to the contrary is not good for us. Physically, morally, psychologically, you name it. Not good for the world. It's poison. But grace, on the other hand, brings life. We'll call for freedom. Not to use it as an opportunity for the flesh, but rather to serve one another through love. To serve God in love as we serve one another through love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one statement, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. To love God first above all things and your neighbor as yourself. This is what we have been called to do. We have that freedom to be faithful to Christ. It's no longer an obligation of the law, which, as we know, the old Jewish law was simply that, a law. You followed the law, and this is supposed to keep you from falling into sin. But it didn't change a person from the inside. Grace, however, does that. It changes our hearts, our souls, our minds. It helps us to be a new person, a whole new creation, not to be what we once were, but to be holy and blameless in the sight of God. And this is done by love. It's a free act of love, for Christ gave Himself for our salvation, and likewise, it's a free act of love when we give ourselves to Him for His sake, and then, of course, He then transforms us as He gave Himself for our sake. It's to choose to love Christ, choose to serve Christ, to choose to reject sin, to reject and remove anything and everything that is not of Christ, and to reject anything and everything that does not bring us nearer to Christ. And on the contrary, to accept all things and cherish all things that do indeed make us holy and bring us closer to the Lord. When you think about it, everything that Jesus asks us to do, how to live, how to work, how to get along with one another, how to act, how to speak, even how to pray and how to worship, all these things that are there in the gospel, everything that Jesus asks us to do, He has done out of love. Out of love for you, out of love for me, and He does all this for our benefit. He's God. He doesn't need anything. We're not God. We need everything from Him. Everything that He asks us to do is for our benefit, and He does this out of love. Whatever we do for the Lord, in speech or in action, as St. Paul would put it, whatever we do for Him is ultimately something that is good for us. As St. Benedict put it very simply, we must prefer nothing to Christ. Prefer nothing to Christ. Nothing whatsoever. No thing, no one to be preferred to Christ. Why? Your ultimate goal and mine, the ultimate goal of every Christian, obviously, is to attain eternal life, to be with Christ in heaven forever. And we desire this not merely because we have some fear of hell. That's a good start, don't get me wrong, but that should not be the sole reason. We should have a healthy fear of damnation, but we have a love for God that goes far deeper than that, far surpasses that, and a desire for all things holy. We must, for the time being, of course, live in this world, but we cannot live simply for this world, as so many people do. To go back to St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, if you live in this world and become like everybody else, and go on biting and devouring one another, beware that you do not become consumed by one another. To see things in a whole different way, to have the mind, the heart, the will, the desire of Christ. It's a very human thing, for example, like in the Gospel, when the Samaritans rejected Jesus because he was going to Jerusalem, and they say, "We have nothing to do with you Jews, we have our own way of doing things." And James and John get upset by this, and they say, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them? They don't deserve you." And what does Jesus say? No. No. He turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. They were given a choice. They made their choice. And sin carries with it its own consequences. But so does grace. So does grace. I say then, live by the Spirit of God, and you will certainly not gratify the desires, the base desires of the flesh. We've all been given a share of the Holy Spirit through the sacraments. We've all been enlivened by Christ to produce the fruits of the Spirit, if we remain aligned, our will with the will of God. We live in this world, but do not live for this world. If we're guided by the Spirit, then everything that you and I do in this world, our work, our joys, sorrows, labors, even our rest and recreation, all of these become sanctified and have an end and a purpose. That is, our work, our joys, our sorrows, our rest, our recreation, everything should be done for the glory of God and the good of other people. The glory of God and the good of souls. That's the end, that's the purpose. And finally, to lead us to salvation. For this to happen, we cannot be attached to our own will or to those things that keep us from living in the freedom of God's sons and daughters. To live according to the Holy Spirit is to desire nothing else but God, His will, His way. Being faithful to Christ simply means looking forward to what Christ promises to come. Not to have this horizontal view of things where we just look at this world only and try to find our satisfaction here, to try to find pleasure for ourselves or please other people, which is impossible, but rather to serve and please a God who loves us already, to have a vertical way of looking at things. Being faithful to Christ means looking forward to what He promises to come. Our day-to-day lives sometimes carry some joys, but sometimes they don't. Our work, for example, may sometimes not always be pleasant. Our daily duties and responsibilities might seem sometimes to be burdensome. Even the people in our lives, even loved ones who are close to us, can sometimes get under our skin. It's life. It happens. Then, of course, as we get older, there's the breaking down of the body. That all of us have physical, mental limitations in one way or another. And all of these things we can use as an excuse and use it to discourage us from fulfilling God's plan. But it shouldn't. They can discourage us if we allow them to. But again, we have the choice. On the other hand, when we look at other persons and situations with the eyes of Christ, and we see these things in a Christian way, persons and situations, whatever they may be, we see them with the eyes of Christ, we will see in them opportunities for love and opportunities for grace, which is exactly what they are. Opportunities for greater love, more heroic love, and an abundance of grace. If that is true, and it is, then why become discouraged? Why have the desire to turn around and go back? To hesitate and retreat? Jesus says, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." We are joyful because with Christ we too overcome the world. And so Jesus calls out to you and to me, every day, every moment, the voice of Christ, come, follow me. Follow me. Be like me. Serve as I serve. Obey the Father, Jesus says, as I obey the Father. Love as I love. Live in me, and I will live in you, he tells us. And here exactly is where we find our happiness and our joy. Only in the heart and the loving will of Christ our Savior. It's in carrying out the specific plan that he has for each and every one of us that we find our truest selves, our fulfillment, our joy. Pray. Pray constantly. Pray that you can see and hear Christ clearly in everything, in every person. Pray to see, to hear Christ clearly and respond to him, Lord, you will show me the path of life, the fullness of joy in your presence, at your right hand, happiness forever.